From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, September 29th. The U.S. Senate has passed a short-term government spending bill to fund the federal government through December 16th and provide emergency funding for critical needs, including $1 billion in supplemental appropriations for the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Maine will receive an estimated $8 million in additional LIHEAP funding, a roughly 20% increase above the state's allotment in a typical year. The bill is expected to be passed by the House of Representatives and sent to the president's desk to be signed into law. Thousands of Maine families rely on LIHEAP to help them cover heating expenses in the winter, and this year's increasing prices for heating fuel is driving up demand for help this year. Portland voters this fall will decide on a proposal to remove the city council from the city's school budget process. A new group called Yes for Schools is supporting Question 5, a recommendation from the city's Charter Commission. The group's co-chair, Emily Figdor, says many school boards across the state already submit budget proposals directly to voters, and the change would also strip away layers of bureaucracy. Figdor, who chairs the Portland School Board, says she often gets calls about the budget process from constituents.
And honestly, it's hard as a public official to tell them the best meetings to attend because there's so many. And so as a result, it's really hard to be heard.
But the group Protect Portland's Future opposes the change, arguing that it would hand a blank check to the school board and remove important checks and balances in the budget process. A consultant for Mount Desert Island High School has found that the state's first electric school bus has served the district well. And as Murray Carpenter reports, more of the vehicles will be coming to Maine to replace conventional diesel-burning buses.
MDI High School was the first in the state to put an electric school bus through its paces in cooperation with a coalition of nonprofits and using funding from the Volkswagen emissions settlement. During the last school year, the bus traveled 80 miles a day without charging and a longer route with a charge at midday. Alex Pine, a consultant with VEIC, analyzed the data from the first year and says the bus greatly reduced particulate pollution and greenhouse gases.
Over the course of this past school year, running the electric bus saved just over 30,000 pounds of greenhouse gases. So that's just over 15 tons.
Electric buses are now also in operation in Vinyl Haven and Camden, and soon coming to Falmouth. MDI schools are ordering 6 more for next year, and 60 Maine schools have applied to EPA for funds to buy electric buses. And EPA announced on Thursday that it is doubling its Clean School Bus Program funding for this year to nearly $1 billion. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Murray Carpenter.
The Mills Administration has announced the latest round of Land for Maine's Future grants that will preserve tens of thousands of acres of forest land, along with multiple farms and working waterfronts. As Kevin Miller reports, one of the largest projects will preserve an important deer wintering area.
The $12 million announced by the Mills administration will share nearly $8 million to conserve working forests, farms, and waterfronts around the state. David Trahan with the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine said one of those projects, the Reed Deadwater area in southern Arista County, contains more than 3,000 acres of habitat that is critical to helping deer survive Maine's brutal winters. And Trahan says the land has huge potential to be a destination for four-season outdoor recreation.
It's the single largest wildlife management area ever proposed in Maine to be owned and managed for wildlife and outdoor recreation. I can't imagine a more significant and important way to start this new policy.
Other projects will conserve 3 miles of frontage along the Crooked River, which is the largest tributary to Sebago Lake, along with working waterfronts in Yarmouth, Phippsburg, Swan's Island, and Harpswell. Funding for LMF was made possible by Maine lawmakers last year when they set aside $40 million to replenish the popular program after it had gone nearly a decade without new funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Last week's rainfall went a long way toward easing and in some places eliminating the drought in Maine. A small area in the Midcoast is still in a moderate drought, according to the latest maps from the federal government. And a corner of southwestern Penobscot County, down through the Augusta region and hugging the coast from Rockland to coastal Cumberland County, is abnormally dry. There are no longer any areas of severe drought in Maine. But Hunter Tubbs, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Gray, says the next week or two will be relatively dry. Hurricane Ian is expected to track over the mid-Atlantic states this weekend.
So in our area, we're going to have a big area of high pressure from Canada that's going to be moving into our region this weekend. So that's going to keep almost, if not all, of the precipitation with Ian well to our south.
With little rain in the forecast, Tubbs says some regions that are still abnormally dry could worsen in the next week or two, but October and November typically bring more precipitation, as the possibility for nor'easters usually increases in Maine. The Maine CDC says the state is on track to break records for several tick-borne diseases this year, and it's advising people to take extra precautions this fall. The agency is reporting more than 1,900 cases of Lyme disease so far this year, compared to roughly 1,500 last year. The state also recorded 4 cases of Powassan encephalitis, the highest ever count in Maine. CDC officials urge individuals to perform daily tick checks and to use insect repellent and wear clothing that covers arms and legs when in wooded or leafy areas. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Maine Calling at 11. I'm Carol Bousquet.